You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I know this song hits hard, great. Football Friday, which is what it is here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I get all that. But let's be honest. I mean, after that Sabres win last night, feels even better. We can crank it up now here at this part because big Sabres win last night against the, those New York Rangers. Did I sound like I was in Boston there? It doesn't matter. Here we go. One question to start today's Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Sal Capaccio here, Josh Schmidt producing. One question for you, Josh. Have the Sabres turned a corner? Oh, be careful. What are you going to say about this? Yes or no? Come on now.
Every part of me wants to say yes, but every part of me has said yes for the past 13 years.
And we do this every year at some point, right?
It's too early to tell.
It seems like it.
It's too early to tell.
It's too early, but it looked really good the last two nights.
Talk to me on Tuesday.
Okay, because
they play Calgary Saturday and Montreal Monday. That's two...
Two afternoon games, by the way, because Monday's a holiday.
Right, which is also a standalone game. Everyone in the NHL is going to be watching you on Monday.
Okay.
So, again, talk to me on Tuesday or even just Monday afternoon. I think, depending on how those two games go, it'll feel like they turned a corner. Right now,
and they're winnable games, by the way.
Right now, it's like when you're walking down the street about to turn a corner, you're like looking around the corner right now. You're not turned yet, but you're just like looking to see if anyone's coming. That's where they are right now.
Yeah. I have to look at, yes, we're starting with the Sabres because they had a very nice win last night over the New York Rangers, 6-1. I mean, they chased Shesterkin. I mean, crazy. 6 minutes left in the second period, they chased him.
2 hours before puck drop, Kevin Weeks was tweeting that there's like movement on his deal. Like, he wasn't saying it was directly Shesterkin, but he put a picture of the New York skyline and also put $11.5 million, which is what he reportedly wants for his next contract. And then he goes out there and gives up 5 goals on 12 shots. I'm not saying it's going to destroy his contract negotiations.
Wow. Because he's a good goalie.
But it's same time.
He had a bad night. It happens, right? But here's the other part of this. Sabres now come back home feeling really good after a homestand. They come back home again for two more games. And like you said, afternoon games. We're going to talk about the Sabres in the 11 o'clock hour with Brian Cozio. Paul is actually on his way back from New York, so he can't join me. But I got to get a Sabres vibe check today, even though it's a Buffalo Football Friday, because that felt good last night. That felt good to watch while we were watching Thursday Night Football, which we'll get to in a little while. So we'll do all that today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in. And of course, we will have Bills head coach Sean McDermott. He is scheduled to join me at 10:45 a.m. All right, we say it. Keep your head, ears, eyes, everything else on a swivel. You never know if the Bills head coach calls and gets in a little bit early or a little bit later. They always have meetings going on. Depends on exactly when the meeting ends. He has other production meetings to do as well with TV for the weekend. So 10:45 is the scheduled time for Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and we will hopefully bring him to you right at that time. We'll get an injury update. Not a lot of injuries. I mean, it's kind of weird. You look at the injury report for the Bills. There are a lot of names. There are 19 names, I believe I counted yesterday, on the injury report. Out of those 19 names, though, that's a lot, right? Oh, my God, 19 names. Out of those 19 names, only one did not practice. So 18 of the other guys practiced, which means 52 of the 52, actually 53 yesterday, then they released someone, Zion Logue. They have an empty roster spot, which we'll get to in a minute. They had all 52 players, yesterday 53, on the active roster practice except for Keon Coleman, which was interesting because Coleman did not practice on Wednesday with his wrist injury. We know what happened during the game against the Miami Dolphins. He got hit by Jordan Poyer. There was a flag on the play for hitting him in the helmet, but his right arm wrist area was kind of pressed and hit and sandwiched between the helmet and his chest plate, it looked like, on the replay, and that's where the injury came from. He was seen in the locker room after with a brace on his right wrist. Well, yesterday, even though he didn't practice, no brace, no wrap, which I find super interesting because if you're going to have like a significant injury to that area of the body, you'd think that you'd be having some sort of brace, some sort of wrap to protect it. That's not the case. Now, he didn't practice yesterday. He was on the field. He took team stretching. We saw him. And then he went off to the side with trainers and did a lot of conditioning work. Didn't catch any passes. So I would think it's probably trending towards him not playing. We'll get that official word maybe from Sean McDermott when he joins me here in a little over a half hour. But I think the encouraging news would be, okay, if that's the case, then come on, you'd probably be avoiding surgery there, right? You're avoiding worst case scenario out several weeks, like DeJuan Smoot, who immediately had surgery after the game on Sunday and hurting his wrist. And he is going to be out several weeks. We know that. He's been already placed on injured reserve. So I'm encouraged by that long term for Keon Coleman. But let's also take into account they have this game against the Colts. Then they have next week at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. Then it's a bye week. If the Bills really want to play it safe, considering where they are, yes, I know the one seed is technically in the window, which it is, right? They're two games behind the Chiefs. They play them once. But where they are in the standings at 7-2, having such a stranglehold on the division, you wonder if the thought of, hey, let's err on the side of caution, wait until after the bye week to get a guy like Keon Coleman back maybe, because then you get a full month essentially. I mean, if you think about it, Keon gets hurt on November 3rd. If they wait till this game and next game and then the bye week, he comes back December 1st maybe, Sunday night against San Francisco. That's a full month. That'd be a nice recovery time. But man, it stinks because he's been so good for them lately. And he's just on this great trajectory, it seems like, in his career, in his season. So we'll see what Sean McDermott says about him. Then you have another wide receiver issue. That is Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper also dealing with a wrist injury. It's really weird because it's totally different with him versus Coleman. Coleman has this wrist injury, does not practice at all, but he has no wrap and no brace, but he doesn't practice. Cooper actually has a brace. In fact, it looks like even a small cast maybe if you look at some of the pictures and video tweeted out yesterday down at One Bills Drive. But he did practice, but in a limited fashion. Didn't see him while I was out there catching any passes from Josh Allen this week. So we'll see where all this goes. But that's two wide receivers who I would argue are your two most important wide receivers. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Khalil Shakir obviously is super important, but your outside receivers, right? Obviously your two most important outside receivers. If neither can go, I mean, that puts you at a pretty tough spot. Then you turn to Mac Hollins, who, oh, by the way, was a full participant in the walkthrough estimated practice on Wednesday, but then limited yesterday with his shoulder injury. Now, this goes back to, unless Mac Hollins had some sort of setback during practice, but he's been dealing with a shoulder injury for weeks. I'm going to assume that's not the case. We'll talk with Sean McDermott. I'll specifically ask him about that with Mac Hollins when he comes on the program in a little over a half hour from now. Oh, yeah, by the way, one more. Curtis Samuel, still dealing with the pec. Curtis Samuel and Mac Hollins, both with red jerseys. Folks, they have four wide receivers listed on the injury report. Three of them have been limited this week. One did not practice. They have elevation possibilities. One would be Jalen Virgil, who's twice been elevated. You get three. One would be Tyrell Shavers, who's been elevated once. You still have KJ Hamler and Deion Kane. I can't imagine they go into this game with four healthy wide receivers, much less three. So I would think that that would be an area where maybe you have to look at this week to figure out what the roster numbers look like. It is incredible that they only have one guy who didn't practice, but because of the position where so many guys are limited and what's happening, you wonder how this is all going to shake out on Sunday. The Bills take on the Indianapolis Colts Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium at 1 p.m. I have open phone lines right now. Anything you want to talk about, anything you want to chime in on as far as the Bills are concerned, comments, questions, opinions, last night's game, Thursday Night Football, go right ahead. 803-0550. Phone lines are open right now. You give a call, you'll get in before the bottom of the hour. Last night's game. We'll look ahead to the rest of the week in a little while. But I mean, how much did that turn on a moment's notice? Really, it turned on the fumble. When the Bengals fumbled, Chase Brown fumbled the ball midway through the third quarter, essentially. That's when the game turned. And it was 21-7 at that time. The Ravens go down. They get a one-yard run from Derrick Henry to make it 21-14. That was the drive, I believe, where Lamar Jackson did his Houdini act and was unbelievable, towing the sidelines and getting down to the one-yard line running the football. Then after that, they get the ball back, the Ravens, and what in the world were Bengals defenders doing on Wallace's 84-yard touchdown catch and run? It just seemed like they felt that, okay, he's going to go out of bounds. Wait, no, he didn't. Too late. If you're a Bengals fan and you're waking up this morning, you have to feel, even last night going to bed, we've felt this before. We have felt it in Buffalo. Remember the Dallas Monday night game. Remember the Cleveland Monday night game. These are going back to the mid-2000s. Remember 2016, the Seattle Monday night game. Right? We've had Tennessee just a few years ago. Now, the Bills have had a lot of success in prime time since Josh Allen has arrived. So I'm not going to sit here and cry, oh my God, every primetime game, the Bills have these tough losses. That's not the case. But there have been some brutal losses along the way like that. They had one in Baltimore this year where they got just run out of the stadium, basically, right? I mean, Baltimore beat the Bills handily. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these games that you go back and go, how did you lose that game? And if you're a Bengals fan, you have to be thinking that this morning. It was interesting yesterday because I tweeted out yesterday a question. It came from the WGR Twitter. I'm sorry, the Extra Point Twitter page. This is at Extra Point WGR. And I wrote, Bills Mafia, what's the preferred outcome tonight? 2,400 of you voted. Thank you very much. Out of that, 75% said Bengals. 25% said Ravens. I think you could make an argument for either because the pro would be, and listen, just like last week with who do you want to win, Jets or Texans, the same thing happened where we had, and I had in my mentions, a bunch of people screaming about why you cannot want the Bengals to win, and a bunch of people screaming about why you cannot want the Ravens to win. Like, you could look at it both ways. This is it's a big picture outlook for both. There's no doubt about it because they're not division opponents. They're not right on your heels trying to catch you in the division. But what it is I think the aura and the mystique of the Bengals and how many people said you just can't let them in the playoffs. And I get it. I do. I mean, Joe Burrow, look what he did to Buffalo in the playoffs in 2022. I get it. I do think there were extenuating circumstances there, obviously. But yes, it's been a tough matchup for the Bills over the years playing that team. Their receivers are unbelievable. We know that. I mean, holy cow. Jamar Chase last night. 11 catches, 264 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Congratulations if you had Jamar Chase on your fantasy team. Do you? Did you play him against him? You what?
2 weeks ago, I traded him. 4 draft picks.
In a dynasty league?
Yes.
Why? Are you like tanking or something?
Yeah. Major tank. But then I won the next week against the guy I traded Chase to, and then this week.
Would it have mattered if he was on your team this week, how much it would matter to your season?
No. You're
okay.
It's yeah.
As long as you were like, man, if that was like costing you, oh my God, now I'm back in the thick of things,
right.
Then you'd have something to be upset about.
But I do feel bad for everyone else in my league that I traded him to a
pretty decent team. Oh, yeah. I'm sure about that, for sure. So if you had Jamar Chase in your fantasy league last night, congratulations. If you played against him, I'm really sorry. He went off. Over 50 points in fantasy, 11 catches, 264 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Either way, though, he kept him in this game. So did Joe Burrow. Burrow throws for 428 and 4 touchdowns. Lamar threw for 4 TDs at 290. Think about that. Burrow threw for 130 yards more, and they both threw for 4 touchdowns. I mean, Lamar also had 33 yards on the ground. So that'll put him over 300 total offense. But last night, looking at the standings now, say let's look what happens now after the standings, okay? Let's put this in perspective. Did not affect anything in the AFC East. The Bills have a clear-cut stranglehold on the AFC East. So much. The Bills have such a stranglehold on the AFC East that their AFC East rivals are rooting for them to win games now. Think about that for a second. That's how far and away the Bills are from the Jets and the Dolphins and even the Patriots, I guess, that those teams are actually rooting for the Bills to win games because they know they can't win the division and they need the Bills to knock down other opponents who they're fighting with for playoff spots. Case in point, this week against the Indianapolis Colts. We've had Boy Green on, Paul Esden. He covers and talks about, I should say, the Jets on his daily podcast, but also he's a radio show host in Syracuse. He's been on the air here. Good guy. Love having him on. And he just bleeds green. That's why his name is called Boy Green. But he's really dialed into the Jets. And he wrote yesterday, he tweeted, and I didn't believe this. I'm like, man, that's true. Because think about how the parity is right now. There's no parity in AFC. It's just the haves and have-nots. Haves and have-nots. He said, if the Bills beat the Colts and the Jets win this week, they're at Arizona to take on the Cardinals, the Jets suddenly have the eighth spot. I mean, think about that for a second. The Jets, if they win, they could be 4-6 and in the eighth spot. I guess one game under 500 and not too hard to think about, but that's because the Colts would then go to 4-6. They'd be 4-6. The Bengals are 4-6. You'd have this whole group of teams at 4-6, and they'd be tied right there for the eighth spot, however the tiebreakers shake out. But the point I'm making is Jets fans are rooting for the Bills to win to make that happen. That's how big of a lead the Bills have. Amazing. Okay, where does Cincinnati fall? If Cincinnati had won that game last night, they'd be 5-5, and they'd be in the eighth spot, a half game out of the Denver Broncos, who would have to still play their game this week. They'd be right there. But because of it, now they go to the 9. They're 4-6. They are now rooting for the Bills to beat the Colts. And they'll be looking at the Chiefs to beat the Broncos this week because now these teams are all fighting for playoff spots. How does it affect the top of the conference? Well, look, right now, the Bills have the 2 seed at 7-2. The Ravens, even with the win last night, don't even have a top 4 seed because they are not the division leader in the AFC North. The division leaders get all 4 of the top 4 seeds. Pittsburgh is sitting there at 6-2. The Pittsburgh Steelers have the division lead in the AFC North. They've yet to play a division game. They're 6-2. They're a game ahead of the Ravens at 7-3. And they still have to play this week. A game and a half, I guess, or whatever, half game, whatever, however you want to look at it. The Ravens have not had their bye yet. That comes later. The Ravens have a pretty tough schedule coming up. The Steelers have a pretty tough schedule coming up. It's going to be interesting. But if you look at right now, you know what the playoff matchups will be in the first round? Check this out. Can we just stop the count now? Can we do it? Can we end the season and have the playoffs start now? Because right now, the Broncos would come to Buffalo in round one. Okay? The Chargers would go to the Steelers. And the Ravens would go to the Texans, and one of them would be knocked out. Okay? That's how it would look right now. Now, think about it this way, too. All you'd need, you could get, if the Chargers then upset the Steelers, the Chargers would then come here for the divisional round. I think this is the best setup right now that I'm looking at of all kind of the realistic possibilities we're in, where it is right now. This would be the best kind of look at it for the Bills from the 2 seed. The Ravens, though, I still don't know if I trust him. Kyle Hamilton's out. How long? I don't know. Sprained ankle, didn't return last night. The Bengals did a great job on their offense until the middle of the third quarter, and then they obviously made some mistakes, and the Ravens had some big plays and made them pay. The Ravens are going to lose some more games, I think, right? They have the Steelers, the Chargers, the Eagles, the Steelers, the Texans, the Browns at the end. Interesting stuff. All right, 803-0550. Here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Let's go to Curtis in Niagara Falls to start us off. We have open phone lines as well. Go ahead, Curtis.
Hey, good morning, Sal. It's been a while. How you doing, man?
Good, thanks. You too.
All right. I was on hold listening to the standing things, but I'll get to in a second. But I was just when you started talking about the gang last night, Lamar, don't sometimes he look like the camp counselor playing with the kids?
It's amazing, right?
God, yes.
You know what's funny is, too, if you go back early in the game, they said, you know, he's run a lot less lately, and he might be dealing with something. And then all of a sudden, all it takes is one run to go, yeah, it doesn't matter. He's Lamar Jackson.
Right. And it's, sometimes it's like he's almost like a cheat code, you know? What you were talking about just now about the standings, I'm glad Baltimore has lost some because of the head-to-head situation.
Yep.
And we can hold the two. And I was just talking to some neighbors the other day about the Chiefs. I said, you know, and this sounds weird compared to the drought years. I said, yeah, we'll beat the Chiefs in regular season. You know, yeah. And it's just we got to win these games when they count in January. We have to. We have the team.
In 2 weeks, now next week you can call me. We can talk about this because they're playing them. Obviously, it's not this week, but I've been thinking about this, Curtis. And here's what it comes down to for me is the Bills are almost in, with the fan base, almost a no-win situation against the Chiefs when they play them. Because if they win, it's great. Go do it in January. If you lose, it's, yep, here we go. Chiefs own the conference. It there's almost no way around it. And I get it. Because you do have to beat them in January, or at least have someone else knock them off before you get there.
Yeah, you know, but it's like, wait, with this, I'm an old school Dolphin hater. I lived through the whole 70 thing. Then there was the thing with the Patriots. Yeah, it's anticlimactic with the perfect game, but I would have preferred if Brady was still there. You know?
Yeah, I get it.
So, yes, of course I would love somebody else to beat the Chiefs. But it would be so sweet if we knocked them out the playoffs. It would, because I remember back before the season, I'm the 13-4, cold and frozen winds of Delaware Avenue in the parade.
You got it. I got it all written down here, Curtis. I got it all written down. I was looking at it the other day, buddy.
Yes, we got to get past the Chiefs. And, of course I hope we slam them, you know.
Yeah.
But in the Brexit. But it's just getting to, they can have another spot, a patch of missing hair in my head next to the Patriots and Dolphins.
Yeah, listen, man, you'd love to beat them, but the prospect of playing them, if you could tell me you'd knock them out, go right ahead. Then you play somebody else,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
No doubt about it. Delaware Avenue will be Delaware Avenue.
you got it, Curtis. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for the phone call. Have a great weekend.
Okay, Sal, you too.
Bye. All right. Yeah, thank you. 803-0550. The Bills, he brought up the record, Curtis did. He predicted, he called in. I did the show right before the season. I said, call your shot. Curtis called in, said 13-4, parade down Delaware Avenue. I love it, thinking about the vibes of it. But 13-4, it seemed like, what are you doing, dude? 13-4, this team is not going 13-4. Think about all the changes, stepping back, retooling, transition year, 13-4. Folks, they could go 13-4. Now, they have some tough games coming up, the Bills do, and even some games that didn't look as tough a few weeks ago now look a lot tougher. Early, when the schedule comes out, you're like, ooh, Niners, Rams, yeah, it's going to be tough. And then season starts to go, and you're like, yeah, Niners and Rams not looking as tough. Now, ooh, Niners, Rams looking tough, right? I mean, they still have the Chiefs, the Niners, the Rams, the Lions. They do get the Patriots twice. They do get the Jets again. Who knows what they are late in the season. This team does have a look at 13-4. It's pretty remarkable. I went back and looked. Tweeted this out the other day. Said, how many times the Bills really started even 8-2? That's a remarkable record to start 10 games. In the NFL, you win 8 of your first 10 games in any season. I don't care what team you are. That's remarkable. That's great. It's not happened in 31 years, folks. Last time the Bills started a season 8-2, which they have a chance to do this weekend, 31 years ago, 1993, their last Super Bowl year. They've started 7-3 a bunch of times, including 3 of the last 5 years. 8-2, very, very rare. A chance to do it against the Colts this weekend. Rick in Hamburg. Hi, Rick. Go ahead. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal Capaccio. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
I was telling your guy, I rewatched a lot of the game and some of the All-22 guys posted. I was wondering, our defensive interior linemen do not complain about holding enough. I know nobody wants to be a crybaby or nothing like that, but I'm watching some of these guys in some of these games raise their hands in the air and cry about it, and the ref will throw the flag. Our guys just don't complain about it that much.
Yeah, I don't know if the complaining gets you the flag, but certainly if you draw attention to it, maybe they're looking. I will agree with you, Rick, that last week I thought Ed Oliver was held numerous times and nothing was called, and then then you had the phantom call on Deion Dawkins the other way.
Oh my God! I watched the All-22 on that.
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest blocks I ever saw by an offensive lineman.
Yeah, it was great, and I appreciate that. And even Brian Baldinger pointed that out. Should not have been a penalty. Thanks a lot, Rick. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. One more call before the break. Let's go to Justin in Oneonta. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Sal. How we doing, bud?
Good, thanks.
I kind of got on a bit of a soapbox this morning watching some of the big heads talk on ESPN about how great Lamar Jackson is and how all this is going on. And it's like, well, yeah, he's got Derrick frickin' Henry in the backfield, right? Like, he's going to look good. You have to let him be able to do whatever Lamar is going to do. And it's not a knock on, like, Lamar as an athlete. But I think, like, this week, Josh has to show that he's just as good of an athlete, put this team in its place, show that the Buffalo Bills are for real, and kind of, like, just because everyone says we don't beat these great teams or big teams. Like, this is a playoff team. Let's put them in their place. Let's show that Josh can go for 3 or 4 touchdowns. And just kind of put to bed that, like, the Bills are this makeshift team that doesn't belong where they are.
All right. Listen, I'd love for that to happen. And for Josh, we know that he's played differently this year. Not as much downfield, but also very, very efficient. He's had some big games. It's been a while. When's the last time Josh Allen threw for 400 yards? I know that's high, you know, it's lofty expectation there. I'm not, you know, telling you that 400 yards is easy. Let me just get the last time. Here we go. The last time he... Actually, Josh Allen has not thrown for 300 yards this year. Oh, yeah, he did. I'm sorry. A few weeks ago against Tennessee. That's right. A good defense. 323. That's his only game. You got to go back. Oh, you know what? He actually hasn't thrown for 400 in a couple years. Last time was against the Steelers. 38-3. Bills beat the Steelers here. Oh, yeah, that's that Gabe Davis long 99-yard touchdown. And again, I'm not saying, oh, my God, go out there and you need to throw for 400 yards. But just some game like that to just cement it, right? Like, Lamar's out here throwing and doing the things he's doing, and now he's the NFL MVP favorite this morning. Josh can take that back with a big, big game, but just keep being efficient, keep throwing touchdowns, not interceptions, score points, win the game. That's what you got to do. And if the Bills can go 13-4 or something like that, like we talked earlier, I think Josh has a serious look at it. But, man, Lamar is absolutely tremendous. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. We will be back in a snap. It's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Sean McDermott at 1045.